the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is Monday, April 22nd, 2019. This is a public meeting of the Zoning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice published in the Hunterdon County Democrat and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building. In fact, the Hunterdon County Democrat, Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Filas?
Absent.
Dr. Lewis?
Here.
Mr. Matson?
Yes, here.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Absent.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Here.
Mr. Roberts?
Here.
Ms. Stevens?
Here.
And Mr. Yeager?
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman?
Okay.
He's a
I haven't read it, so we're going to need it. Okay, if you want to take it. Let me run down the agenda briefly. New business, we'll approve payment of the vouchers. We have no meeting minutes to approve. We have no resolutions to adopt. We're going to have a request for extension of time on Zinn Realty, who I know is here. We have listed on the agenda DeSapio Real Estate Development, which I understand there's been a request to carry this.
Right. You want me to make the announcement now or
yes,
wait?
Yes, let's just do it right now.
Okay, so we have a letter dated April 17, 2019, from the attorney Alan Locher to Denise. And it says, Dear Ms. Filardo, please accept this letter confirmation that the applicant grants an extension of time to the Board of Adjustment through July 31, 2019 to act on the above application. I request that the Board of Adjustment through Board Attorney Drill make an announcement at the Board of Adjustment hearing that the application will be carried without the need for further notice to May 20, 2019. I am confirming that the applicant need not appear at the April 22, 2019 meeting in order to make this request, and that Board Attorney Drill will read this letter into the record on April 22, 2019. So I just read it into the record, and we'll make an announcement that the hearing on DeSapio Real Estate Development, LLC, for a use variance for Block 70, Lot 12, with an address of 1734 Route 31 North, is going to be carried without need for further notice to the board's May 20th, 2019 meeting. Let's just ask, is there anyone in the public here on the DeSapio Real Estate application? Nope.
No one has raised
made the announcement.
Okay. Done. Okay. And we also shown James and Nancy Valenzola. You are here, correct? All right. A public hearing on that. And one thing we have, which is not on the agenda, but we talked about doing, was appointing a chairperson pro tem. And let's do that at the end of the meeting. Okay. So that's the lineup for
and
today.
And let's not forget.
I'm putting it on here.
What's that?
Let's not forget to do it.
No, we won't.
Yeah.
I've it. It's not.
Emblazoned.
Okay. Say again?
It's emblazoned in your mind.
Yeah. Of course, I thought we had done it already this year, so.
Yeah, same as us.
Okay, item one, vouchers I reviewed. They were all in order. We have the new forms. So I'll move. We approve payment of the vouchers for the month. And a second on those, please.
I'll second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays or abstentions? There are none. Okay, next we'll have a request for extension of time, and I think we have some people that are going to recuse themselves.
Yep. Yeah.
John, did you want to mention?
Yeah, I want to go through. So as the applicant is aware, now there is no public here, but as the applicant and anyone else in the room who's here, even though they're on another application, in the past, the chairman, Mr. McCaffrey, has recused because he used to go to the doctor, is in as his doctor. But he hasn't in the last 5 years. So at the time of the original approval, he was still in a recusal situation, in my opinion. Now that 5 years has passed, he's no longer in a recusal situation. So even though it's not a word, he's going to unrecuse himself based on my advice. Also, Mr. Matson, our vice chairman, had recused in the past because he was, I don't know if you guys knew this, he was using the architect that you were using. but he hasn't used that architect for anything in the last 5 years. Not that 5 years is a magic number, but in my opinion, that is more than enough separation to not have an appearance of a conflict. So Mr. Mattson is now no longer recused. Now, Mr. Yeager also recused. Mr. Yeager, though, even though he hasn't done any work on this project in 5 years, in fact, he did work on this project. He did the surveying, which is still the basis for your site plans, which were approved by the board. Therefore, in my opinion, Mr. Yeager still should be recusing himself, and he is going to recuse himself, so he's going to step out in the hall until we call him in on the next case. And then Mr. Pfeffer goes to the doctor. That Mr. Pfeffer's doctor is the doctor he's in. In the last 5 years, he's been there a couple times. So Mr. Pfeffer, who's a new board member, is going to recuse himself, leaving us with five eligible board members.
Okay. Welcome to the party. Okay.
And this is a request, though. It only takes...
Well, put it this way. I feel a lot more comfortable that we have five. Put it that way.
Okay.
Your point was... He was going to ask how many do you need
affirmative votes
to extend something that involves a use variance which required five affirmative votes. So... I feel a lot more comfortable than having to take a legal position that four is okay, and we're just going to operate under the assumption that we need five.
Okay.
Unless we hit a problem, then we'll have to figure out what to do about it.
Okay.
All right. All that.
Good evening. Come on up. Have a seat, please.
My name's Tara St. Angelo. I'm an attorney with Gebhardt & Kiefer, and I'm here on behalf of Zig Realty. For the benefit of the board members, if you don't recall or if you're new in sort of the story of this application was in 2013, before my time at Gebhardt & Kiefer, Zinn Realty was granted use in bulk variances, subdivision approval, and site plan approval to construct office buildings that include medical offices on property at 1 and 3 Gray Rock Road. And then between 2014 and 16, the application and approvals were sort of embroiled in a lawsuit. A neighboring property owner appealed the decision of this board, and so that was pending. It went up to the appellate division. The appellate division eventually affirmed the board's decision. So with that, by resolution 2017-4, in about 2016, the board graciously agreed that Zinn's sort of the time periods to start counting when time periods began to run were told until October 21st of 2016.
Yeah, let me just add in, it wasn't simply that you reset it. What you did was, under the MLUL, NJSA 40:55D-21, there's a tolling provision. And the tolling provision says that if a development can't proceed because of public health or welfare situation, the approvals can be tolled. Now, if you read that statute and there was litigation, it doesn't match up, but there was an appellate division case, PPAC Gladstone, and in that case it said that during the pendency of a prerogative writ, because the lawsuit was saying that one of the grounds of the lawsuit was that the approval should be reversed because it was detrimental to public good, the appellate division said, hey, that's public good, so if you have someone challenging an approval in court, it's the equivalent and it should be told. So based on that case, this board made a determination that the approvals were told. So you didn't extend them, but they were told. And the reestablished date after the tolling was
August 21st, 2016. I think that's when we...
Was August... 21. Okay, I'll have to check, but I was trying to go through this afternoon. Yeah. The reconsideration was determined in a decision dated August 1, 2016. The board went through, and unless I'm wrong, and I'll check my facts and figures, the board in resolution 2016-02, which was adopted on October 24, 2016, pursuant to 40:55D-21, said as a result of the prerogative writ litigation, the date by which the applicant had to obtain construction permits was going to be reestablished as August 21, 2017, and the life of the final approval and the related variances would be a year beyond that, August 21, 2018. Can I just finish this off for you?
Okay.
The applicant thereafter applied, and the board granted a first extension. This is, see, the tolling, in my opinion, was a tolling. It wasn't an extension.
It wasn't any, okay.
Okay? The first extension of the applicable time periods came in Resolution 2017-04, adopted on November 27, 2015. That extended the date by which the applicant had to obtain construction permits to August 21, 2018, and it extended the final site plan approval and related C variants and exceptions, as well as the final site plan protection period, to August 21, 2019. The applicant then applied, and the board granted a second extension of both applicable set of time periods. They extended the date by which the applicant had to obtain construction permits to August 21, 2019, and extended the final site plan approval and related C variances and exceptions, as well as the final site plan protection period, to August 21, 2020. That was all memorialized in Resolution 2018-05, adopted on August 27, 2018. The way I see it, the applicant has now made an application for a third extension of the applicable time periods, seeking to extend the date by which the applicant has to obtain construction permits to August 21, 2020, and extending the final site plan approval and the related C variances and exceptions, as well as the final site plan protection period, to August 21, 2021. That's how I see it, and really the only question is for the applicant, either the applicant's attorney is here, and I see two of the principals are here, their letter requesting the extension dated April 17, 2019. I'm just going to read the third paragraph. It has three sentences, and I think that's what the board's probably going to want to have fleshed out. It says, Zinn has begun the process to obtain construction permits and has begun site work. However, Zinn is in the process of resolving issues with its lenders regarding funding for the construction. The requested extension will permit Zinn to effectuate a plan which was previously approved by this board. Period. Now, I'd like to say, just point out two things. First of all, starting site work is different. You don't need a construction permit to start site work. You need a construction permit to start construction of the building, meaning foundations and constructing the building. So I think the first question to somebody should be, have they pulled any permit or did they just start site work?
No, to my knowledge, they have not pulled any permits as of right now.
So they just started site work. That's why they want this extended, because they haven't pulled a construction permit yet. They haven't done anything for the building. And to start site work, I believe you need a sign-off from the township engineer just confirming that your site plans are signed and you've posted your bond. Then you can start site work. So I just didn't want anyone – when I first read it, I was like, huh, they started work, but they still want the extension. It's because they started site work, they haven't pulled a permit yet. And then the board can ask them to explain what kind of, you know, they're resolving issues with the lenders regarding funding for construction. What does that mean? Why is that delaying them? Blah, 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 blah. So take it from here.
Okay. You can have a seat. Make yourself comfortable.
And then I think most questions would be probably better answered by Dr. Randy Klein or Ronnie Letterman, who are the principals of Zinn Realty.
You want to both get sworn in? One of you? Both of you? They both went like this, you. Hey, so could you identify yourself for the record?
Yes, Randy Klein.
And can you spell your last name?
K-L-E-I-N.
And can you raise your right hand? And do you swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Take it away.
All right.
Yeah, a little short.
Well. There's something wrong. They don't adjust anymore.
So you want to kind of walk us through what you're working on now,
what the issue is,
and why you think you're not going to get permits. I mean, there's still a few months before August 21. You obviously think you're not going to get
permits. So I don't know how many people drive past the site, but quite a lot of work has been done in terms of site improvements and working on the groundwork. in order to, and we had selected our builder, and in order to get the builder on board, we ran into a little bit of a conflict between the builder and the lender. The builder wanted a mortgage without contingencies, wanted a contract without contingencies, am I saying this right? The bank wanted to agree to lend it without a contractor sign, but we couldn't sign the contractor without making sure we had the mortgage because they wouldn't give us a contract that was contingent on the mortgage. Mm-hmm. So we needed to try and get those two teams together. And in the meantime, we started to get concerned that we know that there are some months that there are not meetings in the summer, and we didn't want to get to the last date and then not have any opportunity to move things forward. We just didn't want to get into that situation. So,
do you see a pathway clear to? It sounds like a chicken and egg, right?
It's a little bit of that, and I think, you know, we're trying to get everybody sort of in the same place at the same time. And it's entirely possible that we accomplish that within the time frame. But, again, knowing the time frame we get into, people go on vacations and whatnot, just is a bad time of year to say we're going to run up against the clock on this and then what happens.
But, I mean, I guess my question is more, are you optimistic that you're going to resolve the requirement that each has of the other in the next year?
Yes, I am. And that may require changing the lender, but I'm optimistic. We're gonna, as I said to both of them, this is not the first time anybody's built a building. There's got to be, you know, I don't do this for a living, but there's got to be a way around this because buildings go up. So I just need to get either somebody to move on something or get everybody in the same room so we sort of do it simultaneously. But, yes, I am optimistic about that.
I have a couple other questions, but do you have any questions?
No. Okay. I say this in jest. It's the builder's fault.
Speaking as a former builder?
Yeah. I was going to make another joke. I was going to say, I hope they don't have Mr. Sharma as builder.
Yeah, he's shown up more times than you have.
Yeah.
My test on extension of time is typically, if it were a new application coming in today, would we grant it, regardless of what the history is? And if the answer is yes, then we ought to grant the extension, because otherwise, if we denied it, we'd only be forcing you to come back in and argue the whole case again, and we'd end up exactly where we are. So I haven't asked for a plans report nor seen anything that would indicate that there are any significant changes to the zoning ordinances or the surrounding area which would lead the board to vote against the...
You're doing the weighing. And you're saying, are there any factors that are in favor of an extension? One factor is, basically, you don't want them back in when you know you're going to approve it again. And are there any factors against granting the extension? Is there a zone change? No.
Right. John, do you recall, was the original resolution passed unanimously?
Yes.
Okay.
So it wasn't even a no split vote situation.
Okay, which would further lend weight to the fact that people didn't see a problem with this.
Right.
Okay, I'm okay.
Let me add one other point. After you granted the approval, the neighboring property owner appealed it. You paid to defend that, and then they lost that appeal, and they went to the appellate division, and you paid to defend that, too, along with the applicant.
Right.
Okay. And I would add that with the site work that they've done, if they were to abandon the project at this point, it would be a real blight on the community.
That's a good point.
You know, they'd leave an unsightly hole in the ground that would be worth, well, it wouldn't be much worse than what was there before.
Any other questions, comments? No. Okay. Motion to grant an extension to 8/21/20 to pull permits, and then 8/21/2021 for site plan approval.
I'll make a motion to grant the extension.
And a second, please?
I'll second it.
Okay. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes. Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
And Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think one. Did he go out? Did he come back?
No. I think they just couldn't understand why we were taking so long for an extension.
Maybe we did lose one.
Yeah, we lost one. He escaped.
Tom walked out.
He went to the bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought the door could have been just broken your mouth to see if we'd forgotten you.
Okay, James and Nancy Valenzuela, please come on up. Good evening, how are you? So have a seat, make yourself comfortable, and I see you're here without benefit of attorney.
Correct.
So I'd just like to explain what we'd like you to do, please, is we're looking for three pieces of information from you. Number one, kind of describe the project to us, what it is you have in mind to build. Number two, what kind of relief you are seeking from the zoning ordinances. And the number three thing we need to know is what's the justification on which we could grant the relief. And the justification has come in one of two categories. One is hardship, and stop me if you know all of these things, or John, if I'm...
You're doing good.
Yeah, thanks. Hardship, you know, the lot has some unusual shape, or there's you know, some reason, you know, it's a slope or something that would prevent... sticking with the normal zoning ordinances. And if there's not a hardship, then there has to be a weighing of the detriments versus the benefits. So there has to be some public good to it. You know, we can't just grant a variance because you're nice people and it doesn't seem too offensive. There's got to be some upside to the community for it. So those are the three things we're looking for.
Okay, so let me get you both sworn in. So can you both raise your right hand? And do you swear that the testimony that you're going to give in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so I hope you got?
Yes.
Okay, and start over with Mr. How do you pronounce your last name?
Valenzuela.
Valenzuela. And this is James Valenzuela and Nancy Valenzuela, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and your address is 274 Stanton Mountain Road?
Yes.
Okay.
First, thanks for hearing us.
You know what?
Yes.
That's a very good point. So, we should put on the record, there were some notice issues that came up, okay? There were a lot of notice issues that came up. So I just want to go through them, put them on the record. Why don't we do it this way? You throw the issue at me, and then I'll give the legal conclusion I came to, just so we can get it all out on the record. So I spent some considerable time on the phone today with Denise. She'd get an issue, then we'd resolve that one. This started last week, actually. And Mr. Valenzuela actually went out and did a couple things to resolve some of these things. One of the basic things that happened, which is, this has only happened to me once before in Raritan Township, where the post office just didn't do their job the right way. So the municipal land use law, we're going to make this a teaching moment also.
Sure.
Also for the board, just so they understand what happened. So 40:55D-12 is the notice provision in the MLUL, and it's A through I. So the basic provision is 12A. And 12A says, public notice of a hearing shall be given for extension of approvals of five or more years. Well, for example, the last one tonight was not for 5 years. They didn't have to give notice.
Hey, John, which one? Could you just tell me in?
This is 40:55D-12.
Okay, thank you.
Notice of applications, starting with A. So public notice shall be given. Well, we don't have an extension here. And also, not only is it 5 years, but it's, or if you want to modify or eliminate a significant condition where the applicant for development for which the resolution that includes the condition required public notice. Well, we don't have that. This is the catch-all, which brings everyone in, and then there's some exceptions. For any other application for development. So if you look up the definition of application for development, it includes variances. They have a variance, therefore they need notice because there are exceptions after that. Minor subdivision doesn't need a notice. Final approval, final site plan, final subdivision doesn't need notice. But application for development, other than those exceptions, so they need to notice. So, okay, they need to notice. So what does the MLUL say about that? Well, the MLUL in 12B, in a very convoluted paragraph, at the very end of the paragraph says, it's in the beginning and the end. It's unbelievable. You have to just like block out everything in between. I'm going to paraphrase. Notice of a hearing requiring public notice pursuant to subsection A, which we just established, they have a variance, they're an application for development, so they have to give notice, shall be given to the owners of all real property as shown on the current tax duplicates located in the state, not in Pennsylvania. So I have one board that's on the border. So you could be on the border of the Delaware River, and you don't have to notice the people in Pennsylvania. It's a separate issue. Same with Bergen County in New York. Within 200 feet of all directions of the property. Now, provided, go down to the very end, serving a copy thereof in the property owner as shown on the current tax duplicate or mailing a copy thereof by certified mail to the property owner at his address as shown on the said tax duplicate. So, you go to the post office for certified mail. Most people do it certified mail, return receipt requested. Why do you do the green return receipt? It's not required under the MLUL. You do it just in case. And in this case, if they didn't have those green receipts, they would have had a big problem. Now, there's an additional problem they had, which we'll also get into, but the post office, to have a valid white certified receipt, you need two things on it. You need the address of the person you're sending it to, not just on the envelope, it has to be on the return receipt, and you need either a hand stamp from the post office or a computer stamp. So the situations we've had in various places, everyone's always had the address on it. Either the post office, either the attorney or the person did it in their office and didn't put the date on it. They ran it through a machine that didn't have a date. Or the post office didn't hand stamp and didn't run it through. I mean, it's unbelievable. My partner, as an aside, just had to do 60 notices on an application. Our office in Cedar Grove. He brings the 60 to the Cedar Grove local post office. The guy at the post office says, "No, we're not doing 60. He's like, "What do you mean you're not doing 60? I've got to do 60. He says, "We're not doing 60. It's going to take too long." He said, "If you want to, you can run them through the machine." So my partner is like, "So my partner goes behind the desk at the post office, and he's running the things through the machine." Now, that's not right.
No, it's not right.
Okay? I had to do one with 100 notices.
I think so.
Okay? Same post office. They wouldn't take them. So I had my administrative assistant take 30 of them to West Caldwell. I had someone else take 30 of them to Caldwell, and I sat there begging the guy in Cedar Grove to run it. So it's a little strange. In Raritan, once they didn't put addresses on. Well, that's what happened to these guys. The post office didn't put the addresses onto the white certified receipts. So all they had was these certified receipts. They're stamped by the post office. There's no address. So fortunately, they had green return receipts from most of the property owners. Now kick in with what they didn't have and what we did to get around it. So it's a statutory requirement. And by the way, there's cases saying if the notice is defective, the board does not have jurisdiction. They can't hear a case. Okay. And notice is huge. Huge. If there's no notice, they can't hear the case. It'd be illegal for them to hear the case.
Okay. So there
hey, John, just can I just, which was the case in the previous application, right? The reason it went to Superior Court was a notice problem, was it not?
Well, not exactly. What happened in the previous case was they sent the notices out. The notices themselves described everything except that it was going to be a doctor's office.
Right. My only point was, notice is not a minor issue.
Oh, no.
Notice is the kind of thing that gets you into superior court.
Oh, gets into court. Oh, yeah. This last case, just to refresh everyone's recollection and let you know why this is such a big deal. And their experience with this is, the notice, the certified were properly done in the last case. This was like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. In the notice itself, you see, when the notices come in, now, I mean, that's a very established law firm that represented them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we learned something. It doesn't matter who is doing the notice. I mean, 10 years ago, I review every notice, and we had some applicants complaining that I was charging the escrow account to review the notice. So we said, okay, we're going to ask them. If they don't want to pay to review the notice, I'm not reviewing the notice. Well, the law firm, I didn't review the text of the notice. The notice didn't say it was going to be a doctor's office. But it got a use variance saying it was going to be a doctor's office. When they came in, that was bifurcated, separate. They came back for the site plan. The site plan notice didn't say it was going to be an office. The board granted a bunch of exceptions and C variances. The neighboring property owner did not raise the notice issue. The neighboring property owner raised that the exception shouldn't have been granted. We went to trial, and we won on the exceptions. The objector's attorney, on his way back from the courthouse, I'm not going to tell you why, it was nothing I said, I can promise you that, someone said something to him. The objector's attorney on the ride home says, I wonder, I'll check the notice. See, jurisdictional things can be, well, there's two lines of cases. One line of cases says jurisdictional things can be raised at any time. And there's another line of cases that says if you don't raise something in court, you waive it. Well, they had a trial. They didn't raise it. Okay, that's good. We should have won on that. He makes a motion for reconsideration and brings this up. The trial, we argued too late. The trial judge agreed with us. But I was a little nervous about that notice, and the appellate division basically looked back at the underlying use variance thing and basically saved the case.
The only thing I was trying to point out to the applicant,
it cost them a lot of money.
Right. We went to court twice because of this noticing issue. So I don't want you to think that we're just being picky here. Yeah. We spend a lot of money, and it was the very case that was just here. So this is a big deal if we don't get this right. That's why our attorney's making a big deal. Is we're not going to court again.
We understand. Yeah.
So anyway, so
okay.
They had green cards for everything except the one I can do. So this is very interesting. because my partner and I had this discussion 3 weeks ago. Everyone assumed, right, you ask for the 200-foot list. What do you get from the tax assessor when you get that list? You get the owners within 200 feet and what else?
All the utilities.
All the utilities.
That you may or may not be associated with.
Okay, so
15
okay,
things
so
had to go.
Everyone assumes, including myself up to 3 weeks ago, and including my partner up to 3 weeks ago, and probably most land use attorneys in the state of New Jersey, it's going to be in the book. The 2020 version is going to have it in the book. The requirement to notify the utilities, it has a separate section. It's not under 12A or B.
Ah.
You ready for this? This is, I mean, that's why when Denise said, oh, my gosh, they didn't do the utilities. And I said, Denise, you know what? You're not going to believe this. The utilities are under 12H. Notice of hearings on applications for approval of major subdivision or major site plans have to give notice to the utilities. A simple variance case does not have to give notice to the utilities. So it doesn't matter which utilities. Okay?
Great.
Now, I don't know if Denise should start telling people they can save money by not doing that, but I'm telling you, I've been doing this for 33 years, okay? And not until, well, this provision was added. To be fair, that provision wasn't in there when I started practice. It was added in 2004, but still, for 14 years, okay? I and most of the other attorneys in the state are under the misapprehension that everyone always has to notify those utilities. So that took care of the fact that not all the utilities got notified. And the last one was?
Well, actually, there were two.
Let's go through those.
We had one whereby...
The tax assessor had, remember, the statute says current tax duplicate. That's not defined. So you guys have a rule that says a current tax duplicate has to be 4 months, within
Correct.
4 months. So within 4 months, and the statute says when the tax assessor gives you something, you can rely on it, even if the tax assessor is wrong. So the tax assessor gives them something, and it says that the owner of this certain property is XYZ, and his address is ABC.
Now, that is the fact.
That's a fact.
The owner was XYZ, and he lives at that address.
He owns that house.
He owns at that house, but no longer resides there.
Well, in the last 4 months, the guy moves out. He hasn't sold the house. He rents it now. He has another address. If they had the address on the white car, on the white receipt, no problem. They followed the tax assessor, but they didn't. So we're telling them, get the green cards. Well, the green card doesn't come back on that house because the guy doesn't live there anymore. They went to the new guy's address, and they got a...
They sent it on their own to the new address and got the signature a green card.
Okay, so they got a green card for that one. The last one is the most tenuous, but...
Well, actually, no. There are three different ones.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah. So the other one is we had two.
This is like a law school exam, by the way, a land use law school exam on what could go wrong with notice. And this all stems from, had the addresses been on the white certifies, none of this, boom, you would have complied with the statute, you rely on the tax assessor, you have a certified mailing, it didn't matter if those people don't get them. But...
Right. So there were two where the green cards did not come back because the post office had attempted delivery and they are actually sitting, the envelopes, with the green cards still attached at the post office.
That's because people don't have to sign.
Mm-hmm.
So
I got to hand it to you, or to you. She says, how about I go to the post office. If the post office guy lets me see the envelopes and I take a picture of them and show them to you, isn't that proof that we sent them? I'm like, you know what? Yes. So that takes care of these two.
Okay.
Now we have one left.
Right. Then we have...
By the way, very resourceful.
Thank you. Then we have the last one where that option just described was not available.
For whatever reason,
the post office doesn't know where that envelope is. It wasn't delivered. There's no signature. They don't know where it is. But what the applicant did do...
By the way, whose idea was this one?
The postmaster. And I asked...
I probably felt bad after, you know, screwing up with not putting addresses on the thing. But let's watch this one.
So this is downloaded from the USPS intranet. Product tracking and reporting. And it's the domestic tracking number that coincides with what was on the green receipt, which did not have the address. But it gives the information and all this detailed chart here of whatever their codes are for where it goes every step of the way. But the bottom line is they don't know where it is.
Right. So on this one, what I said was, you know what? I'm not going to say that this notice is bad because of this, but God forbid, if the board grants this, and I'm not saying they are or they're not, but if the board grants this and there's some... By the way, are you related to them or are you a neighbor?
Yeah, I'm their son.
Okay, good.
So you're not objecting.
You're not objecting. Okay. But let's say that someone were to appeal this. My advice to the board and applicant is, you heard all these notice things? I don't want the board to have to pay to defend all this again. So if, God forbid, if that happened, if they approved it and if someone challenged it, you're going to be on your own. The position I'm going to take on behalf of the board is, I'm going to tell them, my advice is going to be, don't defend this. Okay, because it all stemmed from not having, and again, I'm not blaming you. It's all stemmed from the post office not putting the stuff on the thing, but it shouldn't become the board's problem.
Which post office was this, by the way?
Three different ones in New Jersey, right? Haddonfield, Skillman, and Stanton.
But where'd you go
originally?
Where did
you mail from?
Haddonfield and for all the neighbors and Skillman for the utilities. And the third one, for all three, none of them asked for the white slips to have the addresses on them.
Well, okay.
And this is a first that I...
Right.
seen it.
So just so you know, if they don't put the address on, they're being lazy. So you can either ask them to put it on, or you just, or just like my partner, and instead of going behind the desk, they will let you. In fact, when my office does certifies,
you put the address on.
Right.
Yeah.
We go down to the post office. We get all these things. We bring them back to the office. We fill everything out. And when they're all filled out, we even stamp them up on our machine. Then we go down because, you know, God forbid the wrong postage is put on the thing. Then we go down there and ask them just to either hand stamp it or run it through their computer stamping.
And that's what they wouldn't do 100 of? 60.
They wouldn't even do 60. They wouldn't do 100 a month.
Literally
they
just stamp.
That's right.
Cool. Tax dollars at work. Anyway.
Okay, so it's your opinion that we're good to go and the applicant has some minor risk.
Right. I'm not going to sit here and say that the notice is bad, but if someone should challenge this, I'm just telling you, I'm putting you on notice, that I'm going to tell my client, the board, don't spend the money to have me defend this. You guys either do a do-over or you defend it.
Okay.
We've already spoken to that party, and they're in agreement with what we're doing. So that's
listen.
Just...
Okay. Yep. Okay.
That's my spiel.
All right, thank you. Interesting story.
Okay. Actually, I had a similar experience just recently with the Lebanon Post Office. So
they were the ones that were
keep
helpful.
Keep looking for another post office.
Yeah. They were the ones that actually helped me this morning to get all the things to Denise and Mr. Drew.
Well, that was good.
Yeah. If it wasn't for Denise and Nancy and Mr. Drill,
we wouldn't be here.
We wouldn't be here. It took a lot of work. And for the
case is now yours.
We've done our part.
Right. Now let's find out why you're
here. We're done with it.
Yes, now tell us about the actual
why are we here?
We want to build a garage on our property. We bought the property in October of 2017. It has an unusual site. I don't know if you want to look at the site plan now, but
yeah, sure. Take us through.
Okay. It's a rectangular site. It's on Stanley Mountain Road. The house is in the far northeast corner. And the land slopes from the northeast corner to the southeast corner. There's about a 45-feet difference between the northeast corner and the southwest corner.
Excuse me. We're talking about the topographic land survey?
Yes.
Or are you talking about the septic? There's two maps.
Topographic
one of them
the
looks like...
One.
Are you looking at the one that has the yellow highlighting on it or the other?
Yes.
Okay.
Yellow highlighting?
Yep.
The topo map.
Topo map, yes.
Are they not highlighted on the paper copy?
He didn't highlight? Why is mine highlighted and theirs isn't highlighted?
My computer copy is highlighted. I don't know if the paper copy is not highlighted, though.
I didn't go through each and every one.
Tell you what.
We can pass it out.
Well, if someone gives this back to me at the end, I'd appreciate it.
Why don't you pass it around? Because none of mine's not highlighted either.
You have another highlighter?
I do not.
Wait, you know what? I can loan you the one from the file. That was highlighted.
You want to pull it up on the computer? It's photos Valenzuela Block 16, Lock 57.
Okay.
It's in the box.
Right.
Oh, you have the box open. It's in the box. If you go into the box, you have it.
That's right. Okay. I'm not going crazy here.
And then there's a Valenzuela folder. And then it was tactical.
Let's make sure. Are the site plans that you're looking at similar? Because there were changes to the site plan during the application process. The highlighted ones are definitely the latest.
The one I see is loaded online is dated 3/11/19.
Yeah. That's correct.
Rev B.
I think they may be just the ones when you brought them back for the board, you probably just didn't highlight them.
Yeah.
Because they all have the same,
yeah.
But it's just not highlighted.
Okay.
You're looking down here. So those should be the same as what you have in your packet, except for the highlighting.
Yeah, ours are not. What we have in the packet, what some of us have in the packet, does not have the garage location indicated.
Yeah, that's an old one.
Then that's the old one.
Is it say Rev B or
Rev A? And it doesn't have a revision date on it either. So
that's old.
This one's old.
So what do we call it? Revision B?
You want this one.
Yeah,
you want
Rev B version.
Right there.
What do you have? Oh, you have the printout, yeah.
101 has the garage then?
Yes.
Yeah, the copy that I scanned and put online is the highlighted version.
So we learned
a photo.
We learned a lesson. Could bring paper copies. If they send a revision thing, bring paper copies. Have the applicant hand out.
Well, actually, the applicant provided me with all the copies, but I didn't look through to see that they were highlighted.
Okay, got it. Are they in that file?
I have.
Where is it?
Oh, no, I can't.
She get, yeah. John and I are sharing nieces.
They have yours right now and mine, which are highlighted.
That's what I mean. But to get, originally they submit X number, so all the board members have one.
Right.
When they submit this revision one, you have to make sure there's enough copies.
Well, can I
look? You can post them online. But right.
Okay. I didn't
go. They brought the same ones again. Denise hadn't checked to see if they were the right ones or wrong ones. But listen.
We're good. We're good.
Yeah.
I keep going.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
The driveway starts out in the lower left-hand corner, the southwest corner, and rises up to the side of the house. The two ordinances that we're looking for relief for it from is the garage is going to be closer to the road than the house. And I think it's a hardship because there's no other place for the garage other than where we have sited it. It's relatively flat. It's off the existing driveway. If the garage was located to the side of the house, there's a very steep slope and some very nice landscaping trees there. And behind the house, there's not enough room to go between the house and the property line. And also, there's a steep slope there. So the only practical place for the garage is where we're showing it. It's relatively flat, and it's off the existing driveway.
Are you also looking for a side yard setback? You know what the requirement for side yard is? You're showing 38 feet, right?
I believe it's 20.
It's a 20 foot.
Side
in RC.
It's in the table that's on the drawing. There's a table on the drawing for the zoning table. It gives the front, rear, and side setbacks.
Yeah, I think the two variances that are being sought is a variance that even though it complies with the minimum setback, there's a requirement that it can't be less than a dwelling. So the first variance is the fact that the setback is less than the dwelling. Separate and apart from that, there's a height variance for the garage. So I think right now he's addressing the... Again, I'm not taking sides. I'm just saying his argument is that This is the only location for it. Therefore, it's a hardship. So please approve the location, which is closer to the street than the dwelling.
Correct.
Correct.
He took the words right out of his mouth.
I just have a quick question. That's actually it's a comment that's mentioned in one of our experts' reports. It's not related directly to the variance, but it's kind of peripheral, which is you don't show a driveway extension to the new building on the site plan. Is the intention, I'm assuming, to bring the driveway to the new building, and how does that
flow? Yes. There'll be a short apron between the driveway and the garage. on the north side of the garage, the side facing
the driveway. Okay, yeah, I see what you're talking about now. So where those two lines kind of like start spreading outward, it'll come towards the garage.
Yes.
And that, I guess, also answers the second question that was also mentioned in the expert report, which is which direction is the garage facing on that lot? But
the garage
doors obviously then are facing towards the towards the driveway.
Right. And which direction is that for the record? North or south?
North is up on the sheet.
Which direction is the door facing?
Doors face north.
Okay, so the doors face north, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so it's up to the board. You want to, like, split them up? You know, talk about the location variance first, or do you want to do them and then do height, or do you want to do them both together and have him tell you why he needed it at that height?
My preference would be to do them separately because
yeah,
I think this is an easy area.
I agree.
Okay. So, can anyone have any questions about the placement of the garage? Questions for the applicant?
I'd just like to offer an additional comment. I drove by there on Saturday afternoon, and if you look closely at the topos, you can see that there's a fairly steep bank right at the road. And driving by in a car, it's really hard to see what's happening on the property. So, to my mind, one of the important considerations in granting a variance of this sort is that it not be obviously out of character with the neighborhood and things like that. Well, this is a very old lot, very unusual house placement. It's not a cookie-cutter subdivision where all the houses are the same setback and have the same side yards and things like that. So there's no standard of reference to look at this house and say, boy, did they get away with something. So I think that's an important consideration.
So what you're saying is, in your mind, the positive criteria of the hardship variance is based on his testimony, you can't locate it anywhere else, and you're saying they satisfied the negative, because if you drive by, it's not going to look out of place with the neighborhood.
Right. Yes.
I'd add another factor to what John said, because I've also driven by, is that because of some of the agricultural properties along there, there are a number of accessory buildings that are closer to the road, a couple of barns and things like that. A sheep barn or something, that they would not be the only one where the accessory building is closer to the road than the house.
And I'd like to note that the zoning for the RC zone would call for the minimum front yard setback to be 75 feet. In this case, the garage is 135 feet back. So it's quite a bit further back from the road than the dwelling would be if the dwelling were at its minimum. So it's quite a bit further back than the township ordinances sort of envisioned when they said, we don't want things close to the road. You know, we're close to sort of violating that limitation. So I don't find this placement to be offensive in any
way. Even though it's in front of the building, both of them are far back from the road.
Well, in particular, the garage is further back
than the requirement.
Than the requirement. That's the point.
Right.
It's much further back. Right.
Yeah.
Bordering on twice as far.
Right. No, and I understand what you're saying, and I agree with that. And I'm also, you know, there's a different ordinance which unfortunately doesn't apply to them for property owners that have 5 acres or more, that you can have a building, you know, there's a certain number of feet back. It's way more than 75 feet. But the idea is kind of the same, which was that if you have a certain amount of property and if you're set back enough from the road anyway, we don't expect you to actually not put things in front of the principal building. So it's a similar situation here. It's a smaller scale, but if it's far enough away from the road that it's not obvious.
In addition, are you proposing any landscaping?
Yes. There's two trees that we'd have to take down to build the garage, and we're planning on planting trees between the garage and the road. 4 trees instead of 2, you know, to replace the 2. At least 4 trees to
at
replace
least
4. The 2. Yeah. Double the amount.
Is there a number, or is it going to be 4?
It's going to be 4 or more.
There's 4 shown on the plan.
Yes, okay. 4 on this.
All right.
Plus, we may add more in the future.
But you're committing to doing at least 4?
Yes, 4.
Okay. I was just going to say, all right, we'd probably end up writing in the resolution that you'd have to put at least four.
And we don't
agree.
And this is not formal site plan review, so we don't care about specific, you know, the details of 4 or more, as long as it's more or four.
As long as they're by the garage.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yes, of course. As long as they're between the garage and the road and not somewhere else.
Okay. Does anyone have any other comments or questions about?
Yeah, one more question. The existing shed, are you going to remove that when you put in the garage?
Yes, we understand that it's...
Yeah, that doesn't comply.
It doesn't comply.
Yeah.
With the garage, we can use the garage for what's in the shed.
Okay.
So if the board grants this, what's that condition? Remove the existing shed or move the shed out of a non-compliant location?
What's your intent?
If the condition says remove the shed, that shed's gone. If the condition says move it out of a non-compliant location, if you find some compliant location for it, conceivably you could also have a shed.
Well, except wouldn't that be an second accessory building, then, wouldn't it?
Well, it's too small.
Listen,
okay.
But I don't know off the top of my head, but it would be subject to getting a permit for it, because obviously it didn't get a permit or it wouldn't be in a non-compliant location in the first place.
Unless it's grandfathered.
Unless it's grandfathered.
It could be there 100 years or so.
Yeah.
So what am I writing?
I mean, I don't know how the rest of the board feels. I don't particularly care that the shed stays or goes, obviously assuming it's currently allowed because of grandfathering.
Once you're going to do a change to the property, you can clean up, you know, pre-existing non-conforming deviation. So, again, what I'm asking you is the condition saying remove it or remove it out of a non-compliant location?
My suggestion would be to move it out of a non-compliant location, because suppose 5 years from now they decide they want a shed. And it's going to be confusing to say, well, we required them to remove one.
Mm.
So remove the non-compliance and then that. Cleans it up.
As far as side yard or as far as being in front of the house?
There is no side yard violation. I believe the only violation is being in front of the house.
No, the shed also, it's way too close to 4 feet.
No.
4 feet
from the shed, but if you have a condition saying the notice has nothing to do with the shed. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay? The notice has to do with the garage. There are 2 variances for the garage. For the shed, seems to me, I mean, you could ignore it if you want, but it seems to me it's better not to ignore things. And remove shed from non-compliant location, unless you guys tell me remove shed, period.
Do we know what the...
That problem?
No,
we could move it to a non-compliant...
It's not going to say move it to a compliant, it's going to say remove it from the non-compliant location.
Right.
Okay.
Then you can decide if you want to
Toss it or
move it. Right.
Yes. Okay. That gives us options. Thank you.
Yeah. And what was the other condition? I want to make sure I got that straight with the landscaping.
At least four trees.
At least four trees between the trees shown
between the building and the road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Minimum of four trees.
You guys moving on to height, or are you sticking with this?
Give me just a second. I'll look and see what it says. Do you know how many square feet the shed is?
Yes, 960s.
No, the shed's a garage.
Shed. Oh, the shed.
Ballpark.
Square feet?
10 by 10?
Probably not even.
I think it was wider than 10. I'd say 8 by 12, something like that.
Could you repeat that so we don't have to get him?
8 by 12.
8 by 12. Okay.
Approximately.
8 by 12. Okay. Okay. So I take it did you have another question?
I was just going to say scale is larger than that if I'm dependent upon this topo, the scale topo map. Oh.
That we could be wrong, but whatever it's scale, it's the scale.
I'm going to say it's 12 by 16 scale.
Yeah, that's a big shed.
Could be right.
That's an accessory structure.
Yeah, right. Different set of rules then. Yeah. Okay.
Because it's so big?
Yeah. That remove shed from non-compliant location will do it.
Okay.
He was trying to find out. There's special provisions for small sheds that may be complied with, but it's not a small shed.
How big was it?
I'm saying roughly 12 by 16.
I'll buy that.
Yeah.
Our special rules cover up to 200 square feet, but it still wouldn't follow within our special rules either way. It's still in front of the house.
Yeah, can they remove it from its non-compliant location? Is there another place in the property to put it? Because if they say they're going to do it and there's no place else to put it.
No, but if they're going to remove it from the non-compliant location, then they have the option to remove it and trash it or put it somewhere else. That's why I have it set up
that's
like
that. That's my question. Is there a someplace else?
Well, we're not giving them permission to put it.
Right, anywhere. I don't
That's
know.
That's their problem.
That's their problem.
Okay. With pulling a zoning permit.
So just to be clear, there may not be a compliant location.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's
you
fine.
Can find one. Okay.
It needs to go from where it is, so it will go from where it is.
Okay. So is it fair? Is everyone in favor then of granting the hardship variance for the location of the garage? I see everyone shaking their heads, right? Yes. No one has a problem with this? Okay, so let's move on to the height variance.
Okay. The ordinance says a maximum height of 16 feet. We'd like the variance to include 20 feet. The reason for that is it's going to be a single-story garage. There are photographs of similar garages. We're planning on building something that looks like this. It's in your package. There'll be two doors instead of three, but essentially the same look as this. The doors would not be white. The doors would be green like the roof. Kind of similar to this one. The reason for the height variance is we'd like to use an auto lift in one of the bays. And that allows us 6 feet under the vehicle and another 6 feet for the vehicle, which would give us 12 feet. Plus, the difference would be from the bottom of the joists to the peak of the roof. And basically, that's the dimension that the building company came up with, that it would be something less than 20 feet. And because of the slope of the land, we're asking for 20 feet. It's chances are it's going to be less than that, but I know it's not going to be more than 20 feet. So the reason for the auto lift is I like to do my own auto mechanic work. My son works on cars also. It's for our own personal use. It's not for any business or any commercial reason. And it allows us to use the auto lift in the garage. And 16 feet is just not enough for a normal size car and normal size person to work on it.
Question. I have a couple questions, unless someone else wants to go first.
Okay.
The placement of the garage is an easy argument to make because there's a hardship. There's not a lot of places you can put it. The height of the garage, it's hard to argue that there's a hardship here because there's nothing in the shape of the property that prevents you from building a 16-foot garage. So I assume then you have to go for the public good versus the detriments argument. What's the public good here? How does this serve the community?
It allows us to work on the cars in the garage during the winter time, during inclement weather. Having the garage keeps the cars off the street, off the driveway. They're less visible.
Would a 16-foot garage keep the cars from not being visible also?
It would. But it wouldn't allow us to use the garage the way we would like to use it.
I'm with you on that. I understand it benefits you. What's the public good to the community? You have to give us something to work with here to give some justification for it. Can't just be because it's not too bad. There's got to be some positive criteria. Otherwise, we're sort of legally not allowed to vote for it.
Do you have a lift now of some kind? That's
no.
Outside?
No. We live in a... there is no garage on the property now, so there's no lift. We would. I'm going to be retiring soon, and it would be a place for a woodworking shop, for the garage, for working on the cars, and it would allow me to do things in my retirement that I wasn't able to do over the years.
And Tom, when I went by the property, I thought about the same issue. And in looking at the computer rendering of the garage that they want to build compared to the photo of something that I presume the builder provided you, I think maybe the smaller footprint of a two-car garage versus a three-bay garage might be considered a benefit to the community. For instance, if they built this garage that's in their photo one of their submission is going to be at least as unsightly to the neighborhood as something like that that's 4 feet higher.
Is that three-car garage 16 feet tall?
I have no idea. And I don't.
How tall is the three-car garage?
That's also it's the same height because same of height. The peak.
I'm actually still struggling on the previous issue, which is the actual necessity of it for the use. Could you not choose a different roof geometry, like a gambrel roof, which has more room in the middle? And, I mean, the building is almost, not quite, but almost square, according to the drawing, so you could turn the roof. That gets you a lot more usable working room in the center. With the joists raised up, that gets you substantially more ceiling height in the center of the building and lets you stay under the 16 foot.
The we didn't think the roof, the equal roof was as visually pleasing as the unequal slope roof or dual slope roof. Changing the orientation of the peak, we think also doesn't look as nice as we would we would like it to look.
So are you saying your public benefit then is better aesthetics compared to what you would build if you were building a 16-foot roof?
Yes. I think, you know, other than the three doors, if it was two doors, I think this garage looks better than this one. This has an equal pitch roof.
Well, can I just add something about the pitch on your roof?
Yep.
If you left that roof line the way it was, with the pitch running parallel, we'll say, across the garage, mm-hmm. but you made a 3-on-12 pitch. Mm-hmm. One of your photos here has a 3-on-12 existing for the majority of your roof.
Mm-hmm.
If you would bring back your pitch to the centered roof to the middle of the garage, let's say roughly 16 foot back, you would still have an ample 3-on-12 in the back, 3-on-12 in the front, and you'd bring yourself down to 16 feet.
So you're saying 3-on-12, 3-on-12, and then flat?
No, just 3-on-12, 3-on-12.
Meeting in the center.
Meeting in the center.
What I was suggesting, though, was the other, which was a much steeper roof pitch. Was it a gambrel? You do the steeper and then a shallower at the top, which gets you a lot more usable center space. And especially for just the area where you want the lift, there's things that an engineer can do to avoid putting the joists there. You could do thicker cross ties higher up, things like that.
And I assume that both of you were, the questions and the point you're making is they could actually have a compliant height if they did that and be able to fit their lift. That's what you're both saying? With different...
Yeah.
We've been told he only needs 12 feet to operate.
The lift.
The lift to the top.
Right.
Come to the top of your car, then your rafters are up
right
there.
Right. Yeah.
All I'm saying is 3-on-12 roof pitch, meet in the middle. David is saying a little bit different in design, but...
Right. You're both saying if they redesigned it, they could fit.
I believe so.
Without needing the variance, you just have different suggestions for the redesign.
Right.
Different message.
I guess the real question then is if you're arguing that you think that both of those designs don't look as nice as your design, in which case... That is a public benefit, but I think we'd want to probably...
It's a public benefit if you can see it from the street.
Right. Yeah, well, it's true.
Yeah. There's a possible argument to be made there, but I personally, before I could vote that this looks better than that,
yeah,
I'd have to see what that is.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what I'm comparing against.
Right.
You're telling me that this looks better than
this one. This is the other one. This is the equal pitch roof on this one.
Isn't that the design you were going for?
No, the salt box.
Right. This one was two
doors.
The building company that we're working with, their program didn't allow them to show a building like this. They showed it more typical. This one has the steeper, the deeper joists, and they're limited on what depth they can do with the joists. If we change the slope of the roof, we can get closer to the 16 feet. I don't know if we can get exactly 16 feet.
I mean, in terms of, like, actually can it be done, I mean, it absolutely can be done. At some point, though, you leave the prescriptive code and you need to actually have an engineer do it and sign off on it, which, I mean, I definitely feel for you because that's substantially more expensive.
Correct. This is a G28 from their catalog.
That's
the standard, right, correct. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I don't think that we can do a variance based on, you know, the relative cost of the structure. If you could comply...
Right, you can't.
Right.
I'm telling you.
I'm being polite about it. Yeah, we can't. I mean,
right.
If you can comply but don't want to, it's a much harder case to make for us than if it would be impossible to comply.
We just kind of get the board's sense of this. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many people?
This is to make it clear. This is a straw poll.
I'm just going to say without committing.
Right.
How many people are inclined to grant the height variance based on what we've heard so far? Are there any? I see Sharon shaking her head no. 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 No.
I don't really have a serious problem.
Okay. you have maybe one, you need at least four, so it doesn't look as though if we were to vote tonight that it would fly.
Okay. We need five for the height, don't we?
No. The only time you need the only time a height becomes a D, six, is if the height is more than 10% or 10 feet greater than a principal structure. This is an accessory structure. So even if...
Oh, 10 feet higher than the principal structure?
10...
Sorry, 10% higher than...
10% or 10 feet higher than the maximum permitted.
But 20 feet is
right.
10%
but
more than...
But only for a principal structure.
Oh, okay. I see.
Okay, so if this was a house, and if the limit was 16 feet, and they were going to 20, that's greater than 20%,
right.
And it would be a D6. And you need five votes, and they have to prove special reasons. Here, it's an accessory structure, so it's irrelevant. It could be
100%. You could go to 100 feet, and it's still...
Right, it's, still, a,
okay.
It's still a C.
Yeah, okay.
That's what it is.
Well, it's weird, but okay.
I have a general
There's a lot more weirder things than that. That's nothing.
I don't know if it helps or hurts, but I have a general question. Like, there's a lot of slope grades on the property. Would it help the height if they could use the slope to their advantage so that half part of the it would be lower, and then the roof would be lower, right?
Just so you know,
then they don't need a variance.
So. That's
right.
What I'm
saying.
That's what
that's saying, and that's true.
That's my point.
But just so you know, in my humble opinion, they're going to have to consult with an engineer or an architect, because the definition of height in the ordinance measures it from the average grade. So all these things, what these two guys are suggesting with the redesign of the roof and what Ms. Stevens is suggesting, which is basically sinking the building into the ground, all of those are custom solutions. They're not going to find it in that catalog.
No.
They're going to have to either with the builder might have to, if you find a design builder, he might have a computer program. You may just if you're buying it from a catalog from somewhere, you know, you might not be in luck. But if you go to a different builder that has a computer software program, they might be able to do that. And just the fact that you were telling them you might buy the thing from them, you might get it for free.
Mm-hmm.
But the other way, the architect or engineer to figure out the height, that's going to cost you something.
So I think you have a couple of options. You can decide to just put this on ice and go off and chew on it and then come back another day. If you ask us to vote tonight, we will, and it looks like we'll grant the location but not the height.
Can I make one other suggestion? They could ask that you basically bifurcate the two variances and you vote tonight on the location only and let them have the option to leave that other one open and give them time to come back.
Yeah.
At least they'll walk away knowing that at least they can put the garage there. Then they can decide, okay, if the garage is going to go here, is it worth their time and effort and possibly money to try to get something to comply with the height, or do they want to come back with something or whatever?
Also, that'll give you a lot more leverage with the builder. If you tell the builder...
You have an approval.
If you tell the builder, if you do it at 16 feet, we're ready to go.
Right.
As opposed
then again,
to
and you find a builder who has the computer software who can, you know, put either a roof like Mr. Yeager described, 312, mm-hmm. or a roof like Mr. Pfeffer described, higher pitch like that. If they could throw that in there and they know that you have an approval and they could get a sale out of it, they'll probably do it for free for you, the computer software design.
Do we have to then come back and get the approval?
If you can comply with the ordinance, you're good.
If you can comply at 16 feet, you got the approval for the location. You don't have to come back here.
Okay.
We'll do the 16.
No more notices.
That's a big thing. That's huge.
What we would do is we would...
We're saying don't vote.
We'd carry it.
The 16 feet. Do you want them to vote tonight?
Yeah, this way they don't say...
How do we carry it if we... Oh, because it becomes...
The bifurcated. Yeah.
Yeah, I do
too.
All right.
From what I hear is... If we're not granted the height variance...
They wouldn't deny it tonight. They'd bifurcate.
Right.
And they basically would take your application, split it into two. They would decide the first application, which is for the location only, they would carry the height variance application to next month with no need for further notice.
Ah.
And then you can decide if you want to come back or not.
Just to be fair to them also, does that have, like, escrow impacts for them or anything like that?
Well, I mean, if they want the resolution done, I mean, it would be more expensive for me to do two resolutions than one.
Yeah, let's just do it at 16 feet.
And yeah, we'll comply with the 16 feet.
One of the things you might want to think about is what kind of car are you planning on working on?
Listen.
No. I'll tell you why. My next-door neighbor has exactly what you're talking about. He has a lift, and he stores one car under another. But he has a 10-foot ceiling. So he has sort of a normal car, not an SUV or a pickup truck. And it goes right against the ceiling, and that gives him 6 feet of clearance underneath it.
What's
unusual about this garage is the very large front-to-back distance.
Right.
It's 32 feet.
Drives the height.
So you could make it a three-car garage wide and not so deep front-to-back. And you still get your floor area so you could have workspace.
But you can't work underneath a car now.
Right.
Yeah, because it's shorter front to back. So you put a reasonable slope roof on it, and the peak of the roof isn't as high.
They're going to comply.
They're going to comply. They said they're going to comply. They're going to withdraw.
Those are good ideas.
They're going to withdraw the request for the height variance,
yes.
Correct?
Correct.
But there are some questions that are still left from Tom's memo. What utilities are you going to have in the garage? Obviously, you're going to have electric lift, right? You're going to have heat if you're going to be working in the... What kind of heat are you going to have?
Right now, electric heat.
But what are you going to...
I don't envision doing anything other than electric.
Okay, because... Just so you know, when the board has granted these things for garages before with a variance, there will be a condition saying, okay, you can have electric, you can have heat, but the heat's got to be electric, unless you tell them you're going to put some kind of boiler in there. But then they're going to be okay. So heat's going to be electric. Now, instead of sink,
right? There'll be water.
Water. Now, tell them what the sink with water. What's that for? That's for cleaning up.
Cleaning hands.
Yes.
Right. But no bathroom.
No.
Okay, so the resolution would have a condition, no bathroom. And again, why? They want to cut down the possibility, not you even, but maybe a subsequent purchaser could have an apartment going on in there. Mm-hmm. So is there going to be a loft in here?
No.
No.
So there'd be a condition, no loft, no second floor. And I think that covers everything in Tom's memo.
No? Dave, you good?
I'm good.
You good, John? Okay. John, you okay with all this? You good to go here?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we heard all the conditions. We'll remove the shed from the non-compliant location, four trees in front of the garage, the utilities as discussed by Mr. Drill, going for the location, and you're going to withdraw the request for the height. There.
Timing, construction permits, COs.
Right. Okay. So standard conditions.
One.
1 year to pull the permits. So and then a year to get the CO.
So you might want to. So what he's saying to you, he's giving you as a heads up. If you think it might take longer than that, ask for it now, and you won't have to be like the other applicant coming back for an extension.
We're hoping not, but I don't know. I don't know at this point.
You folks ready to move right now?
Well, they're not.
We're not.
They're not.
No, they're
because
not anymore.
They have to redesign that garage. So, again, listen, I represent them. If I was sitting at that table, I'd be asking for 2 years to get the construction permit.
We have 2 years to have the construction permit. And an extra year to... Yeah. to
2 years to get the permits and then a year to construct.
Yes.
You go to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tom. Just add one other thing. The septic system that we saw, that wasn't constructed, was it?
It was not as yet.
And that
it's
will be
been approved.
It's been approved. I see the
that
stamp.
That will be done first, before the garage.
Okay. But the time that was just granted, you'll get the septic system in first, and then you'll have time to do...
I will add that as a condition. Septic system before garage.
That's fine.
So when you're talking about the trees, John... in the conditions?
Yeah, that, mine's...
Is it between the...
I'll read what I have, and you guys will tell me if you want it somewhere different. It says plant at least four trees between the garage and the road.
Right.
Now, if you wanted something different than that, tell me, but that's what
I heard. We say roughly, because on the plan, it's sort of... It's not exactly in front. It's, you know, it's relatively in front. It sticks out.
Plant at least four. Well, do you want to say substantially consistent? Tom, do you want to say substantially consistent with what's shown on the plan? If you like them there, just say that.
You know, it doesn't show on.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Well, no,
the front is over here because the driveway is here.
Like here.
No, we were saying the road, not the driveway.
Right, between the road and the garage.
Right, here's my point. Here's the garage. If I draw a line from the garage to the road, this tree isn't really in that line. It's kind of off to the side a little. That's what I was getting at there.
Well, it's
sort of in front. It's closer to the road than the garage. But if you were to draw, like if you were to go exactly to the garage, this is off to the side, which to me makes sense. I want to kind of buffer the sides a little bit too.
But the topography, as you come down that road, as you're coming down from the west.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Because of the slope of the road, that back corner of the garage would not really... The shed you see when you're coming up the road. You don't see it when you're going down the road. So, therefore, the way the trees are...
Tom, I actually disagree with what your statement was. If you draw a line from the corner of the building to the corner of the road at the property, and then the other corner of the building to the other corner of the road... on the other corner of the property, the trees are all in that like fanned out area between the building and the road.
Why don't we
take a look at this?
Why don't we say substantially like the drawing?
Yes, yeah, so, like look at
from here to here. This is building road. This whole area.
Okay, but then the tree could be over here, right?
And it
could
be. Well, it has to be somewhere in here between this like this triangle, between somewhere in here, anywhere in there screens. Anywhere in here.
My suggestion.
Building from the road.
Let him. And what's the definition? Whatever we're going to figure out. Then we'll find
out. I was going to say, can't we say substantially like the drawing?
Yes, that's a good way to draw it.
That's good.
And that eliminates all this. Okay,
and I would additionally say
substantially. Substantially like the drawing.
What you said.
What you said. So
plant at least four trees between the garage and the roads in the substantially similar location as shown on that plan.
Yes.
And also, hold it.
Don't confuse them.
One thing at a time.
I'm still on trees, though.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, now, and what else?
They said they were going to remove two trees, and I would say no more than two. Only the two trees they plan to remove now.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Assuming we're talking... We're discussing large trees, right? I'm sure there's little saplings in this more overgrown area that we don't care about, so I don't know how we're defining large trees at that point.
Well, can I ask you this? Does the plan show the trees to be removed on it?
Yes.
Well, it shows the garage on top of the tree.
Probably, so. Yeah, but John, I'm saying that there's probably like half-inch or inch caliber trees in there.
I understand. This is yours. Yeah, okay, thank you. And you have that one is beneath it. It shows there's an 18-inch maple, and there's a 32-inch...
No, 15-inch.
15-inch maple and a 16-inch maple. 18. So I'm going to say that...
18-inch maple.
Well, no tree over what size other than those. So those two can be removed, and no other trees over what size.
I don't know. This is why we usually have an expert to tell us.
I think there was something in the ordinance about trees 10-inch diameter and larger is a break point.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Is that?
That's fine.
Let me check that. Let me just write this down first.
I'm just thinking about the wording. I think it's fine. I'm just was thinking about the wording.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you have to bear in mind there's going to be some site clearing for the septic as well as for this building.
But that's a separate application, so.
If I have a condition that says do not remove any trees larger than X, except for the two trees shown on the plan, if there are trees larger than X near that septic, it's going to be a problem. Yeah. Let me just see what the...
Hang on, if we put that condition on, we're encumbering all trees on the property forever, not just for this one construction.
Okay, so just for the garage.
Just for the garage.
Do not remove any trees larger than X
for
the for the construction of the garage, except for the two trees shown on the plan. And let me just—I have to find the X. You want to take a recess?
Actually,
I don't
wait,
want you guys.
Hold
to
Hold on. Instead of going down this road, do we want to just say no clearing for this? You know, no clearing of anything other than within 5 feet of the building for the purposes of this construction. I mean, that basically covers, you could clear the whole area, obviously, where the building is going, 5 feet around it.
What if there's some more trees that are over the X in there? You don't care?
No, because you'll have to take them out anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if we're in the middle of the garage, then it doesn't matter if there's another tree, they're going to have to take it out.
Let me get to the tree removal section of the ordinance.
Or you could fill it in later, right? You want to?
I could fill it in later, but it'd be better if you guys know what it's going to say and these guys know what it's going to say. And not that I want to be here all night, but it's only, it's not even 8:40.
Okay.
Yeah, and as far as a tree survey, this is not, they have a lot more trees on their property. In fact, when we were talking about a possible compliant location, this area, which could have been a compliant location, is heavily wooded. So I would have, if we needed an argument, that whole corner of the property is heavily wooded.
And a steep slope?
It doesn't seem to me that it's much steeper than where they want to put it. But I would have, but
what
I think...
What are the chances that I get Brian Bosenberg?
That compliant location would have removed
Bosenberg,
a lot more trees.
Brian.
Where's that, Dave? By the left of the building?
The northwest corner.
Well, that's steeper. I mean, you know, you come off 10 foot off that deck, minimum distance.
No. I guess I'm talking the northeast corner then.
Hey, Brian, I thought it was worth a shot. Do you know off the top of your head?
That's northwest.
Clinton Township Landscape Board, 165-77.
You know, that would be the closest as far as what I saw when I was there,
the
closest compliant location in that area.
Location, and they're showing
totally
they got to take down.
But you've got quite a slope.
15-inch maple and an 18-inch maple. And the board,
they're
going to let them take those trees down. They don't want them to take down any more trees greater than X. What is X under the ordinance? I'm reading one section that says large trees greater than 6-inch DBH shall be replaced by a tree of similar caliper or may be replaced with multiple smaller caliper trees at a 2-to-1 ratio. No tree planted as a replacement shall be less than 2-inch caliper. For example, a tree measuring 16 inches at a breast height may be replaced with 2 16-inch caliper trees. So what do you suggest goes in this condition? Again, they're going to say something to the effect that they can't remove any trees larger than X caliper for the construction of the garage except for the two trees shown on the plan. What should X be? 6 inches? Nothing removed greater than 6 inches.
Yeah, that's fine. 6 inches.
Because that triggers the ordinance. Okay, thank you. Okay, sorry, bye. Okay, that's the township landscape expert.
Okay.
So he suggests we say do not remove any trees larger than 6-inch caliper for construction of the garage except for the two trees shown on the plan.
And you're confident there's no other trees where the garage is going?
Correct.
Right, okay.
There's no trees greater than 6-inch caliper where the garage is going. Okay. You're confident about that?
Correct. Absolutely.
And sorry, what was the end of the condition you said? For what?
Shall not remove any trees larger than 6-inch caliper for the construction of the garage except for the two trees shown on the plan, which they can remove.
Okay.
Scared to ask. Does anyone have anything else?
I just have a question. I thought on the plan there was a tree really close to where the garage is that was also large. You know, that one's definitely far away, or is that?
No, that's the 18-inch that they're removing. There's an 18-inch near the garage and a 15-inch in the garage.
It's shown with a hatch mark on the two trees to indicate which ones are going to be removed. And there's a note off to the left.
Okay. All right. I misread it. It's okay.
You can see them right here. Here's the garage. Here's the square. And it's those two right there.
Okay. Oh, that's the one I was thinking of. This is like right on the line of the garage.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
got it there. Okay.
Okay, we all set? Okay, I don't need to recap the motion then, right? Can have someone make the motion?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay.
I'm sorry, who made the motion?
Dave. Just for the record, they withdrew the request for the height variance. So yep. The only thing pending before you is the C1 variance for locating the garage in front of the principal building.
Correct. Denise?
And there'll be a condition that's got to be substantially similar to what's shown on the plan.
And I'm going to do roll call.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you all. No. Thanks very much. Thank you for taking a ride out there to take a look, too.
Oh, sure. Actually, I was curious which house, because I ride my bike up there, and I always feel for your neighbor across the street whose front door is basically in the right-of-way.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right, the house right directly across the street is like a foot off the road.
It's an old house.
It's,
I think it's less than 6 feet, actually, from the door to the road. It's crazy.
Yeah, and the right-of-way goes beyond the road.
If you stumble out the door, you can get hit by a car.
You can't stumble out the front. They have no front porch.
It's an old house, and then they widened the road when they made it a two-lane road, years ago. But
even when it was one-way, they weren't that far.
Yeah. Oh, no problem. Well, that must have been quaint when it was just like horse and buggy going by, but you know.
I do not get permits or anything until.
So I do the resolution, which will be 30 days, 45 days out. But yeah, you're going
to. You still have some.
You're going to need the time.
Are we good to adjourn? Because we didn't actually do that. We didn't motion to adjourn. Are we good to adjourn? Oh, yes. See, we almost forgot it.
I wasn't forgetting.
Her battery will last that long.
I would have forgotten.
Yeah, even if it's an Apple battery, it'll last.
I forgot.
I wrote it down.
Me too.
Okay. So we're entertaining nominations for the position of chairperson pro temp or pro tem or pro tempore, depending upon your preference. Any nominations for that position, please?
I nominate Sharon Stevens.
Okay. And a second?
Second.
Okay, are there any other nominations? Declare the nominations closed, and I guess we need a vote. We don't need a roll call vote for this, do we, John?
Nope.
Okay.
No?
It's an election.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
All
in favor?
Good night. Good luck.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays or abstentions?
It's unanimous.
This is a shocking turn of events.
Oh, man.
Okay.
That's fun.
Hey, Denise, I'm still saving. Oh, could I have a motion to adjourn? And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
I'm saving my package just as it was for the DiSapio, right? I should still hold on to it.
It's still
current, right?
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
John, is that pro temp position?